Our Easter text comes from John chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up and placed by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to the woman, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you."
So we are looking at John 20, and this is the account, of course, of the resurrection. And we're also going to be looking at three other of the Gospels as we think about the resurrection this morning. And you've probably been asked this question over the last couple of weeks. Can you bring something? Or can I bring something? When we go to a party, which Rachel and I are invited over, our whole family, which they'll regret when our family comes to eat, but we're invited over to a neighbor's house today for Easter. And of course, we said, "What can we bring?" And Rachel was making potato salad last night, which is my favorite, which we'll take over there. But imagine that my friend, our neighbor, invited us over, and we said, "We're not bringing anything except for our fear and our doubt. And we're going to come to your house and cause problems." We probably wouldn't be invited again, right? Well, in our passage this morning in John 20, what we're looking at is how Jesus is saying the tomb is empty. The angel's saying it. Look. And what they bring is doubt and fear. We see the doubts of the women, especially Mary Magdalene. We also see Peter and John and their fear. But we see Jesus, that he gives resurrection peace. He shows who he is. He even says to Mary, "Don't touch me. I'm too much for you right now." He walks in to this locked room, which we could talk about for a long time. But Jesus brings peace, resurrection peace, even to his friends, even to those who are with him, who bring their doubts and their fears. And so three things for us to point out this morning: the doubts of the women that they bring, the fears of the disciples that they bring, but then to see that Jesus gives resurrected peace. First of all, let's look at the women as they bring their doubts. And we know that there's different accounts here. John is writing from the account which he saw, his eyewitness account, that Mary Magdalene ran to him. But there were also other women that were there. And we know that from Luke and also from Mark. Luke says this: on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. There were more than one. Mark tells us in Mark 16:1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. So there were more women there than just Mary Magdalene. They all came. But notice what they brought. Spices. Why would they bring spices? Because they did not expect Jesus to be alive. They expected him to be dead. We also know in Mark 16:3, he says this: and they were saying to one another, this is the women, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" They expected the stone to still be there. They expected Jesus to be there dead. They expected to walk in and be good moms and clean up a mess. Kind of like a mom walking into a teenager's room with Febreze, which happens at my house. Honestly, it just makes it stink worse. But this is what they came with: their doubts. They did not think that Jesus would be risen. They did not believe his words. And he told them quite a bit. "I am the resurrection. I'm going to die, and in 3 days I will rise again. They will knock down this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." Jesus consistently said to them that he was going to rise, but they came with their doubts. And we see here that they were perplexed, which this word "perplexed" here means that they didn't think there was a way out. They thought the body was gone. Someone had stole it. Even Mary says to the gardener, "Did you do something with it? Can I have it?" They're just full of doubt. We also know that Mary Magdalene went running in verse 2 of John 20 and says to Peter and John, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." She runs with her doubt. She's spreading this doubt to others. She came to try to clean up Jesus, to in some ways rescue him, right? "Give me the body. I'll take care of it." She didn't hear what Jesus said: "I've come to rescue you. I've come to make you clean." Not vice versa. Jesus is saying, "I don't really need your help. I just need you to listen. I just need you to hear who I am." And so as we enter into this passage, come with your doubt. Come with your questions. Don't come to clean up yourself or Jesus. Don't come to rescue him. Come to him and listen to what he has to say. And so first of all, we see the women's doubts. We also see the disciples' fears. In John 2:20, verse 2 here, again, it says that they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. And then he goes on here in verse 3. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now, this is humble John, right? He loves to just make note for all of history that he's faster than Peter. And by the way, Jesus loves me way more than anybody else, just for the record. But they're running because they heard what Mary said. And they're running with questions. Where is he? Why is she saying this? Maybe also to go protect Jesus? They're kind of thinking, did the chief priests and the Jews really go this far? They won't even let him lay? And they're running with this expectation. And then verse 5, John says, and stooping to look in, John saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. One translation says at the end of verse 5, he dared not go in. John runs faster, but when he gets there, he won't go in the tomb. He's afraid. Some commentators think he was afraid of being unclean. If he went in to the and it was exposed or touched the dead body, he would be declared unclean. This is from Numbers 19, we know that. But he was afraid. Maybe it was just fear. Maybe it was he was afraid of what he would see. Does this mean this is Jesus is who he says he is? We don't know exactly, but we do know he comes with fear. And then here comes Peter, the bull in a china shop, who has mixed motives probably. Because if we back up, we know where Peter just was. He was just denying Jesus 3 times from fear. He denied him. He said he didn't know him. Why? He was scared. And now he's running. And he's running still with that fear. But what does he do? Look at verse 6. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. So even though John got there first, Peter ran by him and Peter busted in. Did Peter have fear? Yes. But he went in anyway. He went in and look at verse 7 and what he, or the end of verse 6 and what he saw. He saw the linen cloth lying there, the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. He went into a tomb that was not a mess. It didn't stink. In fact, there were folded pieces of cloth in there. It wasn't someone that rushed out. And Peter, with his fear, went into the tomb and he believed. One pastor said he walked in with his fear, ran in with his fear to that tomb, and he walked out and made a huge difference in the rest of the world. This is Peter. think about what happened next with him. Preaching at Pentecost. Thousands being saved. We just quoted him this morning. Come be baptized, be part of the church. He is the rock. We see so much in him, but he entered in with fear. But he went into the tomb. He wanted to know, is this real? Not just, I'm going to stand to the side and look in. No. Is this real? Also, notice here what he did for John, verse 8. And the other disciple, who again had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw, and he believed. Even though they both brought fear, Peter went in. He wanted to know. And then because he went in, John went in too. And they both believed. Luke 24, verse 12 says, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This word marveling means awestruck, astonished, amazed. That all of those times that Jesus had said, I'm going to rise from the dead, and they kind of went, yeah, whatever. It was real. He did it. My hope for all of us this morning is that we too would walk away marveling. The question is, how are we coming this year to Easter? Are we here to just clean up Jesus? Just to bring our spices, our sacrifice, do the right Easter thing, but not really experiencing much resurrection? Are we here this morning to protect Jesus? If anybody crosses Jesus, I'm going to get them, especially with my theology. Bring it on. Or are we here to experience the resurrection? Are we here with fear because we don't want to be unclean? We don't want to be separate from the family and be somebody that's outside? Are we here because we really are afraid? And we're afraid this is true. And I don't want to go in. Because that means I got to live different. It means I got to do things. I got to maybe even admit I was wrong. I'm going to stay outside the tomb. Or do we really want to enter in? Do we really want to know the truth? Is Jesus who he says he is? Is the tomb empty, really? Bring your doubt. Bring your fear. Remember what C.S. Lewis said, trying to disprove Christianity led me right into the arms of my Savior. Run in the tomb. Go find out. Jesus doesn't need you to protect him. Jesus doesn't need you to clean him up. Jesus needs you to listen to what he said and believe. And to know that's the way you'll walk away marveling. That's the way that you'll walk away as they did here, with peace. They brought their doubt, they brought their fear, and then the third point, and Jesus gave resurrection peace. Look again at verse 11 of John 20. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and she wept. And as she wept, she stooped in to look into the tomb. And then verse 15, and Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned around and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni. She saw Jesus. She's weeping, she's doubting, she's trying to figure out what to do with his body, and then she gets it. Jesus. And then she's marveling. She runs and starts telling everyone, I've seen the Lord and he's alive. But notice, she didn't leave. Mary stayed there. And Jesus brought resurrection, peace. He overcame her doubt. We also see this with the disciples. Look at verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They're still afraid. Jesus comes in to the room. The doors are locked. He's resurrected. And the first thing the risen Lord says to his disciples is peace. Peace be with you. This is almost a benediction that he's saying over them. And let me be clear, this is not peace as in just stay calm, relax. This is kind of like the word shalom. Fullness. Complete, eternal peace with God and peace with man forever is now yours. Now, notice how they receive this blessing. They still don't get it. They still don't understand. They are confused, and Jesus is aware. Then in verse 20, Jesus says this. He shows them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They came to him with their doubt again. And he said, look, put your hands here. That was when he was alive, right? That in his hands and his wrist. But the side is when he was dead. He's showing, look, here's the whole thing. Here's the journey. Do you see? And then Jesus says here, the end of verse 21, again, peace. Peace be with you. Why did he have to say it again? Because they had their fears, they had their doubts. And Jesus knows that us as broken people who struggle, we need to keep hearing it. We need to keep hearing that the resurrection brings peace. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our hope in this life and the next. This is the peace that we long for. This is the peace that we're all after. And notice what he also doesn't say. All right, guys, now y'all need to start doing some stuff. We got to have a plan. No. He tells them to do nothing. Believe me. Receive this. Bring your doubt. Bring your fear. I'll show you my hands. I'll show you my side. I'll declare peace over you. I'll deal with your doubt. I'll deal with your fear. Come. Believe. Because Jesus Christ lived the life of perfect peace. He died the death to bring perfect peace. And we see here that his resurrection brings perfect, full, complete peace. Bring your doubt, bring your fear, bring yourself to Jesus and listen, hear him. For our Savior is risen, and he is risen indeed. We have reason to rejoice and celebrate today. Let me pray. Jesus, we're so grateful that you are risen. We're so grateful that we don't have to clean up that we don't have to have it all together because you do. And you have shown this, and you're patient with us, and you receive us. And so we celebrate today your risen work. We celebrate today your church as we can see baptisms and joining. And we know, Lord Jesus, this is because you're alive and because you're at work, and we praise you and thank you. We pray that this word would sink into our hearts and that we would grow. In Jesus' name, amen.